It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday. It's 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith. Rick Butler of RockyTopInsider.com is our guest in studio this afternoon, hanging out with us all day. Tucker Harlan helping out behind the scenes as well. Marcus Young has the top five at five. Tony Vitello coming up in 20 minutes. Marcus, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
At number one, Josiah Jordan James will be returning to Tennessee men's basketball for a fifth season. James recently went through the NBA draft evaluation process, which included participating in the NBA G League Combine as well as individual workouts with multiple NBA teams. Quote saying, "I'm excited and blessed to be able to represent Tennessee for one more year. After last season, I talked with the coaching staff about how important it was for me to go through the draft process and get NBA feedback since I wasn't able to do that last offseason." So,
yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story. Nobody saw this coming. No. Everybody had put it out of sight, out of mind. He's gone. Urosh is gone. Who was the other? Kamwa's gone. I mean, I guess Kamwa hasn't announced anything for sure. I mean, technically, could he come back?
No, it sounds like he's signing with West Virginia.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's going to come back.
And I don't think he is either. But my point is, like, we had just sort of forgotten about all of those guys, and Santi's coming back, obviously. But, like, it was a major shock when Rick sent me that earlier today. I'd been out doing something. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how does that even work? Do we have spots for him? And evidently, he's going to walk on and make it up via NIL and all this stuff. But it is a very interesting story and really changes the entire outlook of, you know, whether – however you feel about Triple J, however good a player you think he is, I think we all agree he's going to play. He's not coming back to be some sort of player coach or something. He's going to play if he is healthy and be a major factor on this year's Tennessee team.
At number two, ESPN has announced start times for early college football slates with less than 100 days. Although at this show, we're not totally sure how many days it is. The start of the college football season.
Thanks to Tucker Harlan's indecision.
Few games of highlight, obviously with Tennessee. They will be facing off against Virginia noon Eastern time in Nashville, Tennessee. It will be played on ABC. Another game for Tennessee they've announced was the Florida game. It will be at 7 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN in the Swamp.
Go Gator.
A few other games they've mentioned. Week one begins with the Thursday kickoff, August 31st, with Florida at Utah, 8 p.m. You have through Labor Day includes LSU facing off against Florida State in the Camping World kickoff in Orlando, Florida. That's weird.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an enticing opening slate.
Yeah, and then obviously Clemson at Duke on Monday, which would be an 8 p.m. game.
Duke is Duke.
Has it got the blood, the juices flowing now? Everybody's ready for a little college football. We're starting to turn the corner. I mean, it's all been theoretical until now, but now the kickoff times are being announced. The magazines are out.
I can
out.
See your magazines open in front of you.
It's time.
There's barely a such thing as college football offseason anymore these days. It's a year-round sport, and that's how people like it.
Our friend Josh Pate doesn't even recognize it. He says there is no offseason.
Yeah. He's just always working over there in the mid-states.
Just always happening.
At number three, Patriots' Matthew Slater rips the kickoff rule, questions the NFL motives. The captain of this special team, who has been to the Pro Bowl 10 times, and which is an NFL record for a special teams player, he said, quote, "I just don't believe that this is truly in the name of player health and safety. What I do believe is we, the NFL, want to portray ourselves a certain way to the public that we say we care about the players." He said
I hate to disagree with him. I mean, it's pretty apparent that everybody watches these games, and some of the worst collisions happen on kickoffs. It's obvious.
He also said, "But I can give you a long list of examples where the league and powers that be do not act in the best interest of the players."
Well, don't know, man. I mean, it's pretty obvious to anybody who has followed the sport for a long time that they have gone to pretty great lengths to improve the safety of the game. And is it a safe game? No, it's just not. It's football. There's a reason you wear a helmet, and it's probably never going to be completely safe. But is it safer now in 2023 than it was in 1993? Yes, absolutely. It's not even close. Go look at YouTube, the big hits video. Like, you do not see the same style of helmet-to-helmet hits anymore that you used to see. And when you do, it's glaring. It's like, oh, my God. Like, he's going to be thrown out of the game. He's going to be fined. He's going to be penalized, all this stuff. And it used to be just like people are going crazy, high-fiving in the stands while the dudes are there convulsing on the field.
I mean, it didn't just start that whole thing they do where they go rigid, what do they call it, the fencing posture, whatever. It looks so scary when these guys get it. They were doing that back in the 80s and the 90s. Nobody cared. Look at him. He's twitching over there on the ground.
Yeah, bring out the ambulance.
Remember,
scrape him
off
the
field.
Sports
Illustrated used to send out the video cassettes.
NFL's most brutal hits.
Yeah, you got to remember how happy you'd be to get him.
You can pinpoint the moment his spine snaps.
And I'll tell you, you know, for people who are my age, around their mid-20s or so, we didn't get to see a lot of that live. So I remember spending a lot of my youth moments on YouTube just looking up NFL's biggest hits. And that's where we would kind of see those and be like, this was
your generation
this was
soft, Rick.
Be like, this was
your
allowed?
Generation soft.
This was legal?
No helmet to helmet hits, no concussions in football. What's next? Just make all the players wear dresses. Make them wear dresses while they're out there.
Yeah, they got a finger paint at halftime.
Oh, look at him. He's got his little pad around his helmet. Oh, he's got a little pad, the Guardian device. He's got a pad for his helmet. What a sissy.
He's got pads in his gloves. What a loser.
Can I continue?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
At number four, have some MLB scoreboard for you. Final games so far. Angels defeated the White Sox 12-5. Tigers take down the Rangers 3-2. Games currently playing. The Rays are up against the Cubs 4-3.
Cubs got the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. Yep. Down one.
Ooh.
You have the Atlanta Braves up on the Athletics 3-1 at the bottom of the sixth.
That is not.
They have given you guys a lot of. Yeah. How many have you lost to them now?
I mean, both games so far. This would. I'm trying to salvage one here.
And a couple future games for you to take interest in. At 7:10, you got the Phillies and the Mets playing in New York. And then later at 9:40 p.m., you have the Yankees and the Seattle Mariners.
Let's go, Yanks!
Also, did you see Ben Joyce got called up to the Angels recently?
Were you not here yesterday?
I did not pay attention yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you.
He made his debut like 2 days ago.
He's honest.
I was seeing if he was playing in that 12-5.
Did we not talk about this yesterday? Yes, I mean, maybe we didn't.
I guess I pulled a bear.
Tucker was at the game. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He got to see Ben Joyce's debut
in Chicago.
In person.
Tucker did had one of the coolest things. We'll let him talk about it here later. But he's wearing a Milwaukee Brewers shirt, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
He went to Milwaukee to see the Brewers play, rode a train to Chicago, and then saw the Cubs and Rays. At like a noon game at Wrigley,
wow.
And then rode the L down to the south side to see the White Sox and the Angels in the same day.
And just
rode
so
the
happened
L to the south side
on the same day
at night. You went to the south side.
It's not dangerous.
It was a little scary.
There's so many people on those trains.
He said no,
no.
And he got to see the debut of a former Tennessee Vol. I mean, that's pretty. It's a pretty good cherry on top of everything.
It was nasty.
It looks like he's throwing harder. Like,
oh,
it's so
God.
Violent. This throwing.
I mean, 102, you know, and it's moving.
It was interesting. We had a Tony Vitello press conference on campus yesterday, and Joe Stolander also talked to the media. And kind of afterwards, the guys asked him, they said, "No, hey, what is Ben Joyce doing to get some of that movement?" And it was fascinating just hearing Chase Stolander talk about how it's kind of the arm angle that Ben Joyce lets it out as, almost like a frisbee. You can kind of throw it down and it still goes up. That's kind of what his pitch does. It's almost a rising sinker. It's a nasty pitch that even the guys at Tennessee are blown away by.
And finally, at number five, father of hundreds, has a sperm donation ban from the Dutch court.
Yeah. Why?
Is this Al Pacino?
Why?
A Dutch court on Friday ordered a man who judges said had fathered between 500 to 600 children around the world to stop donating.
Why? Because if you're, especially if you're doing it like within like, say, was, say this guy was doing
inbreeding issues.
Yeah. Oh,
there's that issue. Okay. Yeah, there's definitely that. The 41-year-old
accidentally hook up with your sister.
Oh no.
Biological sister. You'd have no idea it was biologically.
That's a. I've never thought about that. What should the limit be?
I don't know.
I feel like
they've had cases where the doctor is, or that may have been just an episode of Law and Order.
Where he was using his own stuff.
Yeah, but I think it's happened in real life.
There's a documentary about it.
Talk Sports literally talked about it today. Like I was listening to that on the drive-in.
Bad guy.
Anyway, the 41-year-old Dutchman was forbidden to donate more semen to clinics. The court ruling said he could be fined up to $110,000 per infraction. The court also ordered the clinics abroad asking them to destroy any of his semen that they still haven't stocked.
Could you just say sperm, please, man? You have to use
I'm using the medical term.
It's gross. It's making it weird. What do you? Have you ever thought about doing that? I mean, like, do you get paid for it?
You get paid for that?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
Think about doing what?
I'll look it up.
Going and donating.
Donating what?
Sperm.
If it's a donation, you don't get paid. I mean, that's...
Yeah, no. I mean, I donate blood.
Hey, here's something from...
Soul plasma back when I was in college and broke.
Been doing it for free most of my life.
I found here that donors are paid between $100 to $120 per donation visit. So I think that's above the plasma.
$100?
I think that's above the plasma.
You think
game.
They ask you? I mean, they've got to ask you, quite like, you know.
That's gonna be a satisfying feeling walking out of there, $100. Yeah,
$100. Yeah.
The Bank of Phoenix says that you get $70 at the time of donation, and then $30 when the sample is quote released.
Maybe you ought to do it, Russ.
Yeah, Russ.
Spread your seed around.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. What I said, saying,
I feel like that
that didn't make it weird.
Made two healthy kids the old-fashioned way already. I feel like pretty good genes to be disseminating amongst the public out there, disseminating and inseminating.
I mean, you come from a family of winners.
That's. I mean, I feel like a lot of families would be lucky to have a little Smith DNA. You disagree, Marcus? You got something to say, big boy?
There's two doctors in his family.
That's right.
And there's Russ, the radio guy.
Russ is built like a string bean. I don't know about this whole DNA conversation.
You got the pythons over here.
He is built like a cheese stick.
Butler gains like 10 pounds of muscle, comes back, and he's all of a sudden he's talking smack. I love it.
I mean, it's like what Tucker said. Do we want any more late bloomers out there? Like, I don't know.
He can tell. Tucker can. He can spot him.
Don't listen to him, Russ.
You're gung ho. I wouldn't even know it. Do we have a sperm clinic in Knoxville?
I don't think they're called clinics. I think they're called banks.
Banks?
Yeah, sperm bank.
Go make a deposit.
Yes,
blood
there is.
Bank.
Yeah, there is. You got one in right here.
Plasma
in Knoxville.
Bank.
It's got 4.3.
You ever do that when you were in college?
Can you imagine
really
the kind of people
materials
that are going in the Knoxville sperm bank?
Maybe you should set up the show one time there just to see.
Bunch of Talk Sports listeners walking up in there.
What if you ended up running in like somebody off another show?
My Lord.
Have a sponsor.
Walk in there. Hickman and Miller.
You catch your kid. Your kid comes out looking like Jake Miller. Like, oh, no.
Talking like this. Hey.
Maybe that could become a sponsor and you can do a live show from down at the
there you
the
go.
Yeah.
Come on down, folks.
Paid $100.
Yeah, they're looking for donors. Some of our callers showing up. That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah. Got some crumble cookies for you for when you're finished.
Some
just pizza.
Get your energy levels back up.
Marlboro.
Some desperate couple wants to conceive so badly, can't do it for whatever reason. Loving couple, just wants to be parents, wants nothing more to experience the joy of parenthood and to have a child of their own, and it's going to be Brad and La Follette's kid. It could be a little Justin Hanna out there running around.
Yeah, oh, my God.
But a Phil or Polish Joe.
That's what the world needs, man. I mean, you talk about like a time limit on how many times you can actually donate. It should be more like a intellect limit. I mean, you need to take a test or something, right?
I would say. I wonder if they've got to ask like background questions.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be very similar to like plasma and blood.
All right, folks. The top five is brought to you by Tallytown tonight. That's next week at Rickard Ridge Barbecue. We'll be broadcasting Tuesday from 3 to 6. Make plans to come out and see us there. You might see Brad in La Follette out there, and we'll tell you more about the Tallytown Festival coming in late July to La Follette. When we continue, Tony Vitello joins the festivities. He'll be joining us here to talk about Tennessee baseball, headed to the NCAA tournament for, what, the third year in a row or something like that? He's got
yes.
it rolling. First time they've had to do it on the road, though, in a while. We'll talk to the head coach of the Baseball Vols when we continue next here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Marcus cruising with you. Rick Butler of RockyTopInsider.com with us in studio this afternoon. And you hear Tony V's walk-up music. Let's bring in Coach Vitello on the road, headed to Clemson for the NCAA Tournament Regional this weekend. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm good. I was smiling. You brought up the song. I was like, I wonder if anyone's actually seen the music video of that song, because it's a little scary.
Oh, I have. It's a little dark. Yeah.
But a good song and a good drive going on for us. It's scenic. Of course, we're going through the mountains, so for some reason I lose you. I apologize. But making our way towards the regional site.
Yeah, we have a special walk-up or pump-up music jam or not a jam that we've got ready for you afterwards here. But so you're
nice, good teaser.
Yeah, you're riding in there. Trained radio professional at work here, Coach. I know what I'm doing most of the time, some would say. Coach, so you're ride, you get to drive to, do you drive your own car to Clemson, or do they give you a rental?
Yeah, no, so what we've done, of course, the guys at Rice GMC take good care of me, and that's my vehicle through work, and that's what I drive over.
Okay.
Since COVID, we've kind of just gotten used to this little protocol. The coaches have their cars in case we got to do stuff while we're there or go recruiting, and then it provides more space on the buses for the guys. So we all just kind of pack up, leave Lindsey Nelson Stadium at the same time, and then try not to break the speed limit too much, but usually the cars beat the buses.
Yeah, so you're doing that windy mountain road through I-40 and I-26 into South Carolina, about a 3 or 4 hour drive. Now, are you jamming? Are you listening to a podcast, book on tape? Like, what's the play here?
It's no, there's been usually a lot of podcasts or books, but Coach Q is next to me, and we've chatted up about some of our guys and some of our incoming guys for next year too. And then I've been on the phone a few times. I hate admitting it. It's officially portal season. So.
Ooh, okay, and that's yeah. That's always eventful, no matter what the college sport. Now, last travel question, and then we'll ask you some baseball questions. I promise. You travel. It's a 3 or 4 hour trip. Are you a rest stop guy, or do you go to the gas station?
Well, if there's a Buc-ee's, that's okay. Kind of got your full attention. But there's
nope.
not enough of
no.
those up in this area. Compared to like Texas. So for me, it's more just out of necessity. It depends, you know, how the bladder's doing or how my belly is if I'm hungry. So it's kind of more just on the fly out of necessity.
Oh, man, I was in a Buc-ee's over the weekend in Georgia. The bathrooms are just immaculate in there. I almost get the food and go eat in the bathroom. It's so clean.
Exquisite. Well, don't do that. But
no.
But I understand where you're coming from. That was the whole design. I don't know if we've chatted that up before, but the entire design out of the guy who invented that was keep the females happy with you know, the bathroom options, and therefore everyone will be happy. So,
it's fantastic. I saw the one in Sevierville opens up next month, I think, like here less than a month, late June. So we could. Be looking forward to that. All right, Coach. After the SEC tournament, you guys, the stay down there, not nearly as long as you were hoping for. What's the play there? Do you go crazy on the team? Do you read them the riot act? Or is it like, snap and clear, we won this tournament last year. Let's go home and get ready for the real tournament.
Yeah, no, I think at the time they were so disappointed that you could see in their eyes it wasn't going to serve a lot of justice to any message the coaches wanted to relay. So we made it quick and just got back. And the other thing is you got to clear out of the way for the next team coming. So it's kind of awkward on the field there after a win or a loss. But if you were going to break that game down, you know, the pitching was – you know, a little bit offset because of the rain in South Carolina pushed everyone back a day. So we give Halvey a start. He was excellent. Sewell's battling for his life out there. Russell, a freshman. Those guys were outstanding. We played good defense. We ran the bases okay. We didn't have as many opportunities as we wanted. The thing was we just ran into a buzzsaw with that pitcher who was averaging two innings a start because he couldn't throw strikes. And against us on that day and against Arkansas down there in Hoover, he didn't miss a spot. So you kind of had to chalk it up to us not hitting well enough, but not hitting well enough against really good pitching. So pack the bags, go home. It's the only single elimination setting in conference tournament, to my knowledge, in the country. We got the short end of the stick. Go home, rest up, and get back to neutral mentally and physically. And then let's get back to playing the type of ball that we've played the second half of the year.
Well, last year, you guys obviously won the tournament, and so it's like scrambling to get home, and then you're resting. It's like, oh, man, are we rested enough for the NCAA tournament? This year, it's the opposite. You had I guess you could have not made the SEC tournament, but then you would not have made the NCAA tournament. So, whatever. But Jared Dickey, coach, said that lots of time by the pool, lots of games of ping pong. Is it just try and get away from baseball, relax, get your mind, clear your mind before we get this thing started?
I think more of a good balance of, you know, you don't have school, so there's less structure, but fill that time, you know, consider the guys responsible enough to give them the freedom to do what they will with that extra time. And really, I think they needed it. We've been on a long road trip together. I think they needed a little separation from the entire team. They all hang out with their buddies. But we also needed some activities that were non-baseball related where they could have some fun and, you know, continue on with the team chemistry that's been growing. And then at the same time, you do have to get your baseball work in. And we did that. We just decided to do it in small portions. And I don't think there is any one right book to put on this thing. I'll be honest, Mississippi's a rival, but I had to reach out to him and say I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you what you guys did last year. But I also asked some other coaches, and you got three different, totally different answers. So I really think it's based on how the season's gone and what team you have and the personnel. And our guys needed some rest physically, and we needed to get back to neutral mentally as well. So I think it all went well. I like the vibes today. And it really doesn't matter. It's opening day Friday, so regardless of what's going on between now and then, we got to where we got based off what's going on. It's how well can you do it Friday, which is a new opening day for everybody.
Rick Butler, Rocky Top Insider, jump in here with Coach.
Tony, just speaking of extra time off the field, something that Chase Dolander talked to the media about yesterday was that a mental strength, Coach, has really been a big part of, especially the second half of the season, and I think that you've been able to tell just how much of his resurgence has come in these last couple of starts. How much do you see that benefit for your players in being able to have that mental strength, Coach, and then just how beneficial can that be for the team as a whole as you go through the ups and the downs of the season?
We have the resource. It's huge for the kids that use it. We also have a nutritionist. You know, our strength coach is not a clock puncher that's just there during an hour lift. There's all these assortment of options the kids have. And not everyone needs every one of those options, but the fact that he was willing to recognize he needed to use somebody to have conversations with and then executed it and took the information and made himself better says a lot about the kid's character. And it should show other players that maybe are a little gun-shy about admitting they don't have the entire world figured out. It'll encourage them in the future to do that. But it's going to be the same for every kid not just at our place, but has that resource. It's there for a reason. It can benefit you. So why not use it? And it doesn't mean you've got all kinds of big problems. I mean, if you saw Chase pitching for us, you know, earlier in the season, his stuff was good. He was throwing good, just not as well as he was capable of adversity. So he used a resource to help him handle that. I think we're all pleased that he did that.
A mental strength coach. That's what we need here
in the radio station.
can you imagine our mental strength coach after about 5 minutes with Bear on the couch?
Oh, you gotta.
He'd run out of the nutcases we've got working here, Coach. You know, this is it, man, and it's weird to me because in some ways it seems like this has been a really long season, but in other ways, I feel like it's just yesterday you guys were getting started out there in Arizona. Like, what does it feel to you as you reflect?
You know, I think it's been a journey. It does feel like because there's been this constant evolving with the team and getting to know some of the new guys or getting to know the team itself's personality, if you could kind of just see it as one entity, it makes it feel like a very short amount of time. Just with the guys, again, I guess that under the chemistry umbrella. If you're talking about the game repetitions, it does feel like a journey because there's been so many different things go well, not go well, learn from this, improve on this. There's been some dramatic moments. So it's a weird combo of the two. And that's the postseason is a weird combo too. Any team in the country could be done in 2 days. Or could play for almost the entire month of June, which obviously we hope to do. But again, I think kind of based off that kind of evolution or the word evolve with this team, I think everybody would feel better if we can kind of tally up a couple more weeks together and really get a true visual of who's the best version of Chase Dolander when he's using all of his resources what's the best version of it. So only time will tell. And like I said, it's kind of opening day on Friday for everybody, but you better have a sense of urgency because it's not opening day in February. It's opening day in June.
Tony Vitello with us this afternoon on The Drive. Coach, before we get to Jam or Not a Jam, I have a movie question for you. You're a movie buff, well known here. And I have a take that nobody agrees with me here. I want to get your thoughts on this. Feel free to disagree, but
yeah.
I watched Taken 2. A week or so ago, and it hit me because I knew nobody would agree with me on this, but I feel it strongly. I want your take. I feel like Liam Neeson is a better action star than Keanu Reeves. I go Taken over John Wick. Am I crazy, or can you get on? Will you die on this hill with me?
Oh man, I'm gonna take the easy way out and say you got two different versions of guys. I mean, I think kind of the verbal, you know, kind of like the famous telephone call in the first Taken. I think it's more of a drama action that Liam's providing, and it's kind of the verbal on top of the action stuff. But if you're just gonna go full kind of cool guy, assassin, bad guy, hero, whatever, I think people will slash my tires if I go against John Wick. also pretty good in Speed and Matrix and those other ones too. So I might have to go with good old Keanu or Canoe or however you want to say
it. Yeah, they both had prolific careers. Here's my thing about Liam Neeson and Taken.
Oh,
he
God.
Is like, you know, Keanu's, he's just doing it because the guy killed his dog, right? He's just like this this guy who's really sad about his dog. Liam Neeson, he's got this, like his wife is split up. He just loves his daughter. He's got real world problems. You know, he's got issues. He's
terrible.
He's more of an everyman.
Horrible take.
Again, drama. Again, there's a drama piece to it. Now, I don't know. You mess with a man's dog.
Right.
Those are fighting words right there. So, The good thing is everybody, you know, or I'm sorry, you don't only have to watch one movie. There's a variety of ways you can be entertained.
All right. I couldn't win Coach over to my, but I will continue to fight this
one of your worst
I'm not
takes
going
ever.
Against
this unwinnable battle.
No,
nobody's going against him.
No. If I'm not mistaken, though, maybe Family Guy or somebody kind of messes with him, basically talking about how old he is and, like, in real life, if Liam Neeson got in a fight, kind of how crotchety old guy. I don't know if I made that up in my head or Family Guy really did that, but it's an aging action hero. But really, they both are.
It could be potential crossover, like Freddy versus Jason thing, John Wick versus... I don't even know what Liam's character is. Maybe that's another strike against me here. But yeah. those two facing off.
Before we throw out, I'm sure people think my opinion of music is terrible, so I'll throw out opinions on shows, too. I don't watch that much TV, but the show Night Agent I watched while traveling is really good. And I hear the guy who's Night Agent, if you have or have not seen it, is one of the baddest dudes in real life that there is in Hollywood. Like bad dude. So
Night Agent.
For what it's worth,
it's a Netflix thing. It looks fantastic. Maybe in the style of like a Jack Reacher or a Jack Ryan.
Yeah, I'm Googling right now. It looks good.
Yeah, real good show. And if I'm correct, I heard on a podcast somewhere, I think he's the guy that's like a bad dude.
Gabriel Basso.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plays Peter Sutherland.
That's a strong name, too. Old Pete Sutherland. You know that guy can kick some ass.
Don't mess with Pete.
It feels like he could hit a home run. Pete Sutherland.
All right, Coach, here we go. You ready to listen to some tunes with us?
Very ready.
All right. Bear, what do you got? Okay.
Heard they're great live. They got some songs that'll fire you up. That one I'm not that keen on. That's just me. Not a jam.
I hate to do this because my 8-year-old son loves this song. But I'm with you, Coach. I can't jam it right there. The Imagine Dragons, not for me.
No, we'll go ahead and make it unanimous. Oh! It's an overproduced, overpolished pile of crap.
I'm surprised.
Nah.
A unanimous non-jam. Already a couple of crotchety old men up on the porch telling the kids to get off our lawn. All right, what's next, Bear? Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Yeah, just the theme of the song alone, I think you got to go with that one. If it's pregame music for any sport, and I could see John Wick kicking open a door and maybe messing somebody up.
That one. He's killing like 75 people in some nightclub.
Yeah.
I can't get off the porch yet. I'm still up there with the shotgun across my lap. It's not my thing. I'm not a big Drake guy.
You go ahead and do it. I'll jam it with Coach.
Nice. I don't believe for a second that you jammed that song.
No, I mean, that'd be good. Coach had a good point. That'd be good in the locker room.
Yeah. All right, it's a jab with me dissenting.
Okay.
Next.
Gosh, yeah, we won't throw our Frisbee on your patio.
Hey, you better not. It's my property. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. There you go. That's more my speed. That's got a beat you can nod your head to.
Hey, that's good for all ages. I think the lyrics are too catchy, and I'm envisioning a team in the locker room post-win and continuing on in the playoffs, Don't Stop Believing, singing it all together. So I'm jamming it.
It's just strange to hear it fade out instead of stopping abruptly, because now I always think of The Sopranos, spoiler alert, in the last episode there.
That isn't so closely identified with that now.
Yeah.
Just completely took on the song completely... Took on a different thing for everybody.
It's a jam, though. I'm not a huge Journey guy, but respect that one. That's a
Journey
anthem.
Guy. Celebrate their entire catalog.
Okay. Unanimous jam of Journey.
All right, here we go.
You guys are setting me up to get criticized by people here. Because I got to be honest.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when I was younger, Top Gun, I was in love with that movie, and that's a big part of that movie, so I have to jam it.
I was in love with the chick that sang the song from Berlin.
Berlin.
That blonde. Hell yeah, it was a jam. It was one of the biggest hits on the planet when it came out.
I thought we were getting a Kelly McGillis reference.
I was fine with Kelly back in the day, with a big emphasis on back in the day.
Yeah, you guys seen her lately?
Don't get yourself in trouble.
Easy now.
The people are sensitive these days.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, I mean,
Tony's
know.
Like, connection's breaking up, guys. Got to go.
We're in the mountains.
I'm in the mountains.
All right, is it one more?
One more.
All right, here we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if our guys know, our players.
Yeah.
That I played with, they're going nuts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
so I'm jamming that.
Yeah, when Mr. Miyagi works his magic on Danielson's leg, he gets back up there and You're the Best comes on. He starts working through that. You got that tournament montage going on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's the one that gets you fired up. Jam all the way.
I'm going to not a jam it.
Oh!
Whoa!
Oh.
Just don't like it. Never did.
Never did.
It annoyed me. Made me want to just, like, punch somebody. I don't know. It's there's no reason
it
for it, guys.
80s. Very 80s.
Yeah.
Very 80s. All right. Good stuff there on Jam or Not a Jam with Coach. Coach, we appreciate you, man. Good luck. Don't listen to these knuckleheads like Bear who criticize all your coaching your pitching decisions. He's always texting me, what's Tony doing?
Crap, Coach.
I tell him, trust the process.
Why trust the process. Why did Tony take Dolander out? Why did he take him out, Bear?
It was a seven-inning game. It's a short game. You get a flare double. You get a flare double, and you're down 2-1, and it's not going well on offense. You lose. But if you got a strikeout guy, you know, hey, trust the process when it works. When it doesn't, you criticize it. That's sports, period. Love it or leave it.
Told you, Russ.
A little edge in Coach's voice. He tell you take I'm your always. Criticism and shove
no,
it, Bear.
He's talking to you,
I'm
big
angry
boy.
I'm angry about the Karate Kid hate. And I was thinking about going to get a bonsai tree. And that,
Yeah.
Now, I've always thought that would be cool to do. That bonsai tree stuff.
It'd be a good conversation piece.
Wax on, wax off. All right, Coach, we appreciate you jumping on here with us, spending some time, and we can't wait, man. Here we go. Postseason baseball doesn't get any better than this.
Yes. Thank you all. We'll do our best to serve Ball Nation well and you guys well. So there's little criticism. There's going to be some.
All right. Good stuff, Coach. Appreciate you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Take it easy.
Yep. Tony Vitello on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, making his presence felt. Some good stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
And feels like he's ready to let it rip this weekend.
Tony kind of grew out his hair, and I know he's got the curly thing, but if he kind of grew it out and did the whole butt cut, did the middle part, I think he'd kind of look like John Wick. I think he would kind of
look
like
he could pull that off
like
for Halloween.
Halloween thing.
Yeah, he could.
And again, you got the curly hair with him, right? So it's not perfect, but it's the jet black. That's kind of
he also with the beard and everything. I noticed another person that he kind of favors. He's a lot healthier looking, got a lot more weight, and he's an athlete. Kind of looks like John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay. I haven't seen Frusciante in a while, but
Frusciante's got his beard and his long hair.
Okay.
You're saying Tony is like a non-junkie version of.
Yeah, he's like John's little brother that was like an incredible, you know.
Stayed on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, it was highly successful at baseball, not at doing drugs and playing the guitar. I guess he wasn't really successful at doing the drugs part.
They both ended up successful, which is good.
Yeah.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200, your number. 546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, wrapping up on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show, our last May show of the year. It will be June tomorrow. Tony Vitello making his presence felt on the Fan Run airways. A pretty epic performance.
Yeah.
He's had some good appearances through the years. That's That's right up there.
It's a 7-inning game.
What do you want from me?
It's a 7-inning game.
I love how you always.
Why did you bring that up?
I was so ready for the both of you.
You threw me under the bus again. I mean, you could have just called me an idiot. I mean, like, so your response to me comically, playfully throwing you under the bus is to come out and ask him why you took Dolander out?
I didn't. I said,
That's exactly what you did.
No, I said, Coach, I said, he was the one. I said, you were the one texting me. Why is he taking Dolander out? Why is he taking Dolander out? I said, I wasn't questioning you, Coach.
You threw Barron at the end to kind of emphasize that this statement was to you, but it did kind of come out like you were just making that statement.
I think that was the takeaway. I believe that's the way he took
it.
It's dawning on Bear now. He thought that he got me with Coach, and now he's like, wait a minute.
Well, Coach will know now because you know he listens.
I got got. Yeah.
Damn. Now I got to wait. I'll talk to him when we get him back in. I'll explain it
Tony,
to him.
I'm sorry. You'd be like George Costanza with
but
Tony.
But I brought sandwiches.
Oh, Tony. To tell me to step off? Oh, no. Step off, Tony.
Man.
That's what you texted me. I mean, I can always
read my private text on the air. Please, Bear, do that. That's a good precedent.
Why is he taking Dolander out? Why'd he do it, Bear?
I don't think I said that, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't read what
you're
actually
we all said that. I mean, we all thought that at the time. I don't think anybody was like, yeah, yank him out, Coach.
Well, now we know the answer.
But it was a good, as always, was a great appearance, but very informative.
Yeah, it was a terrific
finish.
Terrific. Yeah, good knowledge on just travel plans, good knowledge on the team and some of the resources they have, and then you got a good music at the end.
Do you just not like that song, or do you not like Karate Kid? Is it like a combination?
It's just, man, that song was so played into the ground. It's not that I don't. I mean, it's just it's one of those things where you've
heard it so many times.
Yeah, you've heard it so many times. It's just like, ugh.
Hey, I told you guys he was going to jam Drake. Nobody listened.
I'll say this.
He did.
If you were in a long foot race, and I don't know why I would ever be in a long foot race.
the only way I would be is if I was running for my life.
If you're in a long race, you're running from a cop, the cops, the bear, a wolf, whatever.
Oh, I think the bear's running.
The guy that wants to hurt you. Like, you're running, and if there's one song that's like going through your mind that's going to give you that boost, if there's just one song, it's that song. There's not a close second. I know South Park is on the list of awesome things Bear hates, but what was?
I don't really hate it. It's just
it was super Bat Dad, where Randy Marsh is fighting Bat Dad.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried it again with Junior.
That's a top 10 episode.
I don't know if you should watch it with Junior though. You know,
I mean, he's into it. He thinks it's the funniest thing ever.
South Park.
Yeah,
it's got some really good episodes.
We sat through three episodes. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever watched in my life. I feel dumber just sitting here.
Oh, man.
It was one of the few times I'll agree with Rush. You're a dummy about this.
It's so bad. Such a bad take.
The only funny bit about it is the...
No.
I
was going to say.
When they keep killing, what's the kid's name, Kenny?
That's the worst bit about it. It's just...
I like the chef guy. Some of the songs are funny.
What would Brian Valentino do? Probably kick an ass or two.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Can't get it up high enough.
Hey. Have y'all seen the Team America that those two have done?
Because
it's on my list.
You haven't seen that?
You gave me it.
Yeah, I gave
like
you the
real DVD.
Well, I've got the DVD.
I'll take it.
Do people look? Did I just expose myself as an oldie?
Yeah.
Now, in my defense, I have not watched a DVD in years.
Oh,
I've got a bunch of them.
Do you have a player? Do you have a real DVD player?
I don't know.
Because I think like people my age just have like an Xbox or a PlayStation.
I don't even
That's
have that anymore,
use.
Rick. Like he loaned me back. I've had it for like a year and a half now. It's like the Beatles anthology. And I'd love to watch it. Crazy Beatles fan. But I can't. Every Sunday, I dust it off, make sure there's no dust on it. Just sits there right on top of my entertainment center.
Mike on Twitter says, tell Bear I'll let him borrow my South Park DVD collection for about $350.
It's a high price for a borrowing.
$350.
I mean, it's on streaming.
Did you ever?
I literally streamed like three straight episodes.
I get it now.
Oh.
Did you ever see the Book of Mormon that they did as well?
Oh, it's classic.
No, but
that's what I wanted
I would
to see.
Love
you
to.
As a stage
as a,
person,
as a theater guy.
That came to Knoxville a couple
it
years
did.
Ago. That's where
it
I
did.
Saw it. You're a well-known
and
guest.
I was on the I was on the drive when that happened full time,
so
and that is very
so
high
funny.
Up there on my. I've heard it is just like knock your socks off funny. Just
like
laugh
I recognize
until tomorrow.
What are their names? Trey
Parker and Matt Stone, I believe.
I'll acknowledge they're incredibly, insanely talented guys. They're weird as
hell. They just did a really good episode. It had a lot of publicity just a couple months ago when they spoofed the royal couple.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of their all-time greats.
I don't know,
opinion.
Man.
I would go back and watch that.
Funniest thing I ever saw was where, have you seen the interview where they tell the story about thinking it'd be a good idea to drop acid and go to the Oscars?
I was just going to bring that up.
That's a good one.
And one of them dressed up in a dress.
No,
think
they,
about
they
South
both
Park.
Did.
They
both
did.
Did it.
If I could be that guy for a second, it is the most funny, culturally relevant social commentary out there. Like, as far
agreed.
As it's so much smarter than anything else on TV,
yes.
the way they lampoon
yes.
The royal
like
family.
Saturday Night Live is never going to spoof somebody. They could be funny, but it's
yeah.
never
going
to be a true comedic spoof. Like I think what you're talking about in South Park does that very, very well.
They attack all like any
anybody.
Hot button cultural
yeah.
issue. Like they will have something to say about it, and it's usually. I was like, yeah, these guys are right.
They're right.
That's the way
like
to
Family
yeah.
Guy and American Dad. Is that McFarlane?
It's funny. I don't think they're on the South Park level.
Not anymore.
From the commentary perspective.
The other thing, too, I think I can't remember which guy it was, whether it was Matt or Trey. One of them was talking in an interview about how there was a certain episode where he was just so miserable and hated it, and he thought it wasn't going to be any good, and he didn't want to put it out there. And apparently it turned out to be one of their best episodes ever,
which was
the World of Warcraft one.
That's my all-time favorite.
So great.
That is my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
That is the funniest, and one of the funniest things on TV ever.
Which is the end of the world of Warcraft.
Which is what was so funny, to think that this guy who created one of the greatest episodes in comedy thought it was terrible.
The fat guy, the fat guy who's killing all the characters.
The computer. I'm going to have to go back and watch that tonight. That is so good. Man. It's tough because you don't want to bring up just like one specific episode, but I think that one
that
like,
is the best.
People
well, the way they've been
seen.
Able to evolve to like the whole PC principle and strong woman
yes.
characters are so funny.
Man, oh man. It's good.
You're missing out, Bear.
Yeah. Join our reindeer games.
Yeah.
All right. So wrapping up here, another stellar edition. What a news day. Kickoff times announced. I'm still redneck mad about it. Noon kickoff in Nashville, 11 a.m. local time in the blazing sun of Nissan Stadium to see stinking Virginia. That sucks. And then having to play Florida in the swamp a night game, that's not going to be easy.
Variety's a spice of life, Russell.
Triple J is back with the Basketball Vols. None of us saw this coming.
Mm-mm. And he's a walk-on.
Evidently, I haven't seen that confirmed, but that's what I've heard is happening. And Tennessee baseball is happening. You know what is one of the first things I have in my notes today? I watched the movie Air last night.
Incredible
really?
Movie.
Yeah.
I've heard so many people rave about it.
And I was gonna talk about it, and then like all this news happened,
yeah.
It just never came up.
Turned into a day. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Not to give away.
Yeah,
the,
I didn't
the,
like I know some segment, people are but... saying like, "Oh my god, it's so great." It was good. Like it's got that nostalgia.
Okay.
Just 80s, 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 shove it down your throat. Oh, the 80s were so everything. 80s, it's got if you're into that, you'll love that.
It was funny when we were talking about the players that we know now that they should not have taken before. Yeah. Sam Bowie.
Bowie. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Marcus. Rick Butler. RockyTopInsider.com. Go read his work there. For Bear, I'm Russell. Overtime headed your way next right here on Fan Run Radio.